staff operators, especially these who are handling the animals, who are in contact with the animal, if they are trained or if they have the certificate of competence to know, I mean, if they know the behavior of the animals, if they can predict when an animal might have fear or stress and to handle them accordingly to their behavior, this is very important.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. When it comes to 25-hydroxy D3 products, purity matters. Hy-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Learn more at hy-d.info. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company.
Welcome to Swinet Canada, brought to you by Wyzenetics. I'm Aline Remus, your host, and today we're talking about something fundamental to both animal ethics and product quality. We're talking about animal welfare at slaughterhouse. It's a topic that affects not only how pigs live their final moments, but also how we see as society view food. Joining us is the world-renowned expert, Dr. Antonio Velarde, head of the Animal Welfare Program at IRTA. He is a accredited veterinary specialist and co-author of the first scientific paper on the concept of one welfare. Dr. Velarde has worked with EFSAA, EUROCOL, and several major European initiatives focused on standardizing and improving welfare practice at the slaughterhouse. Dr. Velarde, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Aline. It's really a pleasure to be with you here and discuss about this very important topic.
Oh, I'm very fortunate because I had the chance of taking your class when I was a master's student. So I feel that I have a little bit of an insider view in the world that you work. And I have the most profound respect for you and your work. So thank you. For me, it's an actual honor to have you here with me. So, Dr. Velarde, could you just give us a brief introduction about your background and how you came to work in this area of animal welfare?
Yeah, sure. I'm a vet. I mean, I study veterinary science in Barcelona, in Spain. And during my studies, I mean, the subject of animal welfare and animal behavior fascinated me. Also, I decided that was really my way to go and to study. And I did my PhD in animal welfare slaughter, comparing different stunning methods in pigs and also in sheep. And from there, I realized that it's really a very important topic and they need a lot of research. And then I start to work as a researcher in the research institute where I am now, that is the Institute for Research in Agri-Food Technology, that is a public research institute belonging to the Catalan government in Spain. And there we have a program, a group on animal welfare. And one of the main topics of this is animal welfare slaughter. So this is my main background. I have been working on this subject since I did my PhD in 95. It's a long time ago.
Just yesterday.
It seems like just yesterday. That's true.
Absolutely. So for you at home, just help me to welcome here Dr. Velarde. If you're watching this episode on any of our streams, you can also leave your questions. Dr. Velarde will not be able to answer us today, but we can invite him back to actually answer some of these questions. So please comment in this, and you also can like and subscribe and share this episode with your colleagues, especially if they're interested in animal welfare. Dr. Velarde, why is animal welfare around this slaughter so important?
I mean, this is the last part of the life of the animal, of the production, and it makes seems that it's a very short part of the life compared to the time they are on the farm, but it's a very critical and a very sensitive moment, because I mean, from the society, the fact that to kill an animal or the death is very sensitive, no? And this from one part, the societal concern about this moment, and also the other is that during this time, when the animal is going out from the farm where they have been for several months there, and they have already a routine there, and they know the mates, the partners, they know where is the food, they know where they are familiar with all this, with the environment, suddenly they are removing from there, they are taking out from there, putting in a truck, and moving to a complete new environment with new animals around them. Everything is new. Also, this causes stress. This is a very sensitive moment for the animal. Also, it's important. And also, another important aspect of this is that animals, they are experiencing stress, fear, or pain during this part. This stress of this poor welfare can also have some effect on the meat quality. Also, the welfare there has a direct effect on the meat and the product quality.
And you have worked extensively with the European Food Safety Agency in their panels, right? So based on the current evidence that you have done there, what is this short and long-term physical effects? You're just touching the subject. So can you just explain us a little bit more how these animals, when they're exposed to poor welfare conditions right before the slaughter, what would actually happen to them?
Yes, I mean, do you mean the main welfare consequence that it may feed the animals during the slaughterhouse and also the associated transport? You can see all the new environment for the animals. They make the first reaction is to fear, because the fear is a reaction of the animal to avoid to go to some place that they know that may be a potential hazard. Also, going to the truck will cause a fear to the animal. Also, the slaughterhouse. I mean, they may have a lot of new noise, sounds, smell. This is all will cause stress. There is a sensory overstimulation. There is also at the same time, animals will be handled by operators are different to them from the farmers who are used to them. I mean, they are unloading from the truck, moving to the lairage pen, and then they are moving to the standing place. I mean, this is different operators that they are used to, and also with different way to do this. This will cause also such handling stress. Also, when they are in the slaughterhouse, when they are lairage or in the truck, they don't have the same space that on the farm. They will experience also restriction of movement. I mean, the animals are there in the lairage to rest, but normally the density is higher than in the farm. They may experience also thermal stress. Also, another important aspect is normally these animals are fasted. They have feed deprivation during transport, and this food deprivation will continue in the slaughter. Also, these animals will experience a prolonged hunger. Also, they should have their water, I mean the drinkers in the pen, but some of them maybe is not familiar to this drinker. Also, some of them may also experience a prolonged thirst. Sometimes, most of the time, the animals, do you know that the pigs are very hairy? I mean, they need to establish the hierarchy, because the hierarchy, I mean, this aspect is important for them to know who is the first to eat, to drink, to rest. And this is important, but when they are transported, maybe they are mixing animals from different pens. Also, they are mixing with unknown animals, and they need to establish again the hierarchy. Also, it may happen that there is also fighting during the lairage, that this will cause more stress and more injuries. Also, and sometimes when they are moving, they may have pain Also, the stunning is an important aspect, the correct stunning. So you can see we have mentioned several welfare problems, and all of them, I mean, appears at the same time during the animals in the slaughter run. If the animal will face only to one or two welfare consequences, maybe they will cope easily. But the challenge here is to cope to all these welfare problems that occurs at the same time.
What is the effect of this poor welfare on meat quality and carcass quality overall?
Yes, I mean, I will try to describe it shortly and briefly, because I think this is really a whole subject, and there is, will be another podcast, maybe just to talk about meat and carcass quality and the effect of the slaughter. But the main reason is, I mean, we have talked about that the animal will mix and will fight. I mean, this fighting may cause scratches, lesions. I mean, they may also fall and sleep, and this will cause hematomas. And these injuries, these wounds, I mean, these lesions also, if they are hitting by the operators, they might cause also some hematomas. These hematomas, because they will go into the carcass. Also, this will be a meat quality, a carcass quality problem, because this part of the carcass with wounds, lesions, might not be worth to be commercialized. Also, there will be a depreciation of the carcass. But there is also a relationship with meat quality. Also, do you know that meat quality need to have a good product need to have a correct pH, and also a color. Also, the good meat or the normal meat. Normally the muscle have a 7 of pH, and then after the 24 hours that there is the stabilization, it should be around more than 5.6 to stabilize this. And this is normally done. This is like the acidification of the muscle that is needed to the muscle to convert into meat. Is because when the animal die, I mean, there is a metabolization of some of the protein, and there's a degradation that make that there is the reduction of the pH. The main problem is that if the animal experience a stress response just before being slaughtered, that it may happen during in the slaughterhouse, there will be an increase of lactic acid in the muscle, because the muscle is very active, and the way to generate energy, the muscle, to respond to this stressful stimulus is just to transform the glucogen, that is the energy in the muscle, to lactic acid. And this lactic acid will remain in the muscle. Also, the main problem is that it will be a more acute drop, reduction of the pH in the muscle, especially during the first hour after slaughter. And this will make the meat more what is called a pale, soft, and exudative meat. The name is PCE. And these are meat with a more light color. I mean, you can see in the shelf of the supermarket that they have, and they have more, I mean, they lost more water. Also, the quality of this meat is worse than the normal one, and this is due to this acute stress that the animal has experienced just before being slaughtered, that it can be during lairage or moving to the stunning and killing area.
So, Dr. Villard, that is, I mean, it's quite a, if we think like you have worked your whole life, of course, to improve welfare of the animals, but also improve their welfare in their last moments. And you just gave us a very broad view that is not only a question of improving their life, is also going to have a very clear economic impact and going to have a very clear impact in for the consumer. So you, what I understand you're telling me is, if we improve their life of these animals, you're also going to have a much better economic return. So actually, animal welfare pays off, right? I think that is a very important take. But could you tell us a little bit of, in your studies and the panels that you have worked, what are some of the techniques that can be used to reduce this type of bad welfare or non-welfare? I don't know how I would actually define that. So how can we attenuate these problems? Can you give us like, what are some signs that we can easily detect these animals are not in the right condition? And how can we address that to improve welfare in during the slaughter, especially in the abattoir?
Yes, I think the main, I mean, one critical aspect is the training of the people working there. I mean, the training of the staff. I mean, the staff, operators, especially these who are handling the animals, who are in contact with the animals, if they are trained, or if they have the certificate of competence to know, I mean, if they know the behavior of the animals, if they can predict when an animal might have fear or stress and to handle them accordingly to their behavior, this is very important. I think this might be the most important aspect. I mean, the knowledge of the people working there. I think training the operators is crucial to improve the welfare of the animal. Also, then when they are loading the animals, they know how to move the animals, to move not in big groups, because normally when you are trying to move big groups, because you may think that you will finalize, you will do it quicker, because they are more. Sometimes when you are moving groups of 15 and the animal that stop is this in the first, you cannot reach this one. Also, you may stress the others to arrive and persuade to move the other. So moving group of six is this. Trying also the facilities. Facilities are important. I mean, the corridors when the animals are moving, to avoid distractions, to have a good lighting, because animals are going from dark to light, also to have the light appropriately. Because I mean, the idea is to think that the animal, when they are moving from one place to the other, is because they want to escape from something, but they need to see that where they are going is an escape route. I mean, if they see that there is no more exit, they will be reluctant to. I mean, all this knowledge of the animal will help. Also, I think crucial is the training of the staff and also the facilities that they should be built to avoid any distraction and to improve the welfare of the animals. And the other part is the stunning. I think the stunning and killing is a crucial moment of the animal. Animals should be rendered unconsciousness before bleeding them. And it's important that it should be efficient, the stunning method, because if it's not efficient, animal will suffer, experience additional pain of the stunning. And also it's important to have indicators of the state of consciousness. I mean, because animals that are effectively stunned may recover consciousness before death due to bleeding. Also, to be able to differentiate it, if an animal is conscious or unconscious, and if the animal is regaining consciousness, to apply a second stun, I mean, this is also an important aspect to improve animal welfare.
And have you seen if there is one method of stunning that's better than the other?
Yes, I mean, this is really a big debate going on in the European Union now, and also in other parts of the world, because for pigs, there has been two traditional methods, the electrical stunning, and electrical stunning that sometimes was head only, with the application of the current only on the head. But Sometimes it's with another third electrode that fibrillates the heart, and when the animal is unconscious, it produces immediate death. I mean, the animal will not recover consciousness. Also, this with heart arrest is more recommended. This electrical stunning is very effective. It's immediate. Once the current passes through the head, the animal lost consciousness without realizing that there is a painful stimulus. But the main concern of electrical scanning is that the animal should be restrained before for the application of the electrodes.
Because it is also a question of safety for the operator, right?
Yes, but also for efficiency, because if the current does not go through the brain but through other parts of the body, it produces electrical shock while the animal is conscious, and this is painful also. I mean, to guarantee that the current goes through the brain, it's important to you have to restrain the animal, but restraining of the animal, and also if the slaughterhouse is running high slaughter speed, I mean, I'm talking about 600 or 500 pigs per hour, you need a conveyor, and this is also very stressful. I mean, because to put the animals in a single file in a conveyor, you need electric coach to some of them, and this is painful. Also, this is the main concern of the electrical stunning. Then the other method is gas stunning. The most used is high concentration of CO2. The high concentration of CO2, you don't need to restrain the animal because the animal are moving in group to a crate and descending into a pit with high concentration of CO2. And then the animals there are exposed to the gas, and they are getting unconsciousness where they are inhalating. But, I mean, here the animals are not restrained, but here the main concern is that the induction to unconsciousness is not immediate, like electrical stunning. It needs a time. And what it has seen is that CO2, high concentration of CO2, might produce irritation of the throat, and some breathlessness. Also now, it's under debate, the use of high concentration of CO2. Also, some of the project going now, the studies going now, and we are working also on this, is to use the equipment of the gas, of the CO2, but replace the CO2 with alternative gases that are less aversive than CO2. Also, we are trying nitrogen, argon, that are inert gases that instead of causing hypercapnia like CO2, cause anoxia. Also, they are not aversive to the pigs, but they need longer time of exposure to get the animal unconscious. Also, this is now the research going on in the stunning of pigs.
So Noah, you listed these methods, and I kept thinking that, for example, in research we often will use captive bolts. So that's not something that is normally used in regular life in abattoirs.
Yes, I mean in on farm it is used, in the slaughterhouse it's not used. For one reason, I mean, you have to restrain also the animal because you have to shot in a place, but also it produces very severe convulsions after the shot. I mean, the induction of unconsciousness is immediate, but after, once the animal is unconscious, that is not a welfare issue, the pigs start to have very heavy convulsions, very intense convulsions, and that is much heavier than it may occur in cattle or in sheep. And this will have a negative effect on meat quality because they might be some blood splash, some ecchymosis, some And it's very, also very, it might have a risk also for the operators.
Right.
Yeah. So it's more the this consequence than not the welfare issue. But on farm, it is used. It can be used for killing pigs on farm.
And unfortunately, you are approaching towards the end, but I don't want to go over without discussing with you about one welfare. You have been you are pioneering this concept along with your colleagues. You have been co-authoring this paper on one welfare, and I really want to know what is this about.
Yeah, one welfare is really an ongoing concept. It's developing. It's like you might be more familiar with the concept of one health, that it's what is plain as that the human health and the animal health is going together, because I mean it has been consequence. The concept of animal welfare is very similar. I mean, it tells you that the welfare of the animals are very linked to the welfare of the human. Their approach also, but the end is there are so much interaction that when you improve the welfare of the animals, you will improve also the welfare of the people who are around or interacting with these animals. And for example, in the case of the slaughterhouse, we have clear examples. I mean, operators who have been trained to know the behavior of the animals, who have been trained how to handle the animals to avoid fear or pain to the animals, this has a positive effect on these animals that are arriving to the slaughterhouse, because these animals will be handled in a more humane way, with knowing the concept. Also, they will experience less fear, less pain. This will be a benefit, not only on the welfare but also on the meat quality. Also, they will get more profit, the owners, the slaughterhouse, but also the satisfaction of the people working there increase. The welfare of the operators, when they say that they are doing well this work, that the animals are moving well without any stress. I mean, they reduce the stress of the operator there.
I do love this idea, Dr. Velarde, because I think for many years we have been talking about also the welfare of the people working in this slaughterhouse and how hard it is. And I think that's extremely important that you're addressing that. And while you're at it, one of our biggest problems, and I think you as a trained veterinarian, you also know that the veterinarians suffer a lot with compassion fatigue, right? So I think we also have this problem in research because we work very close with the animals. It's very hard when we need to sacrifice these animals, right? Even though consciously and training we know. So how can you with the one welfare help us to address this? If I understand right, this concept also comes to this idea of addressing compassion fatigue and so on, right? And
yes. I think now that I mean you can extrapolate to also for research. I mean, for example, the 3R, trying to reduce the number of animals, to refine all the procedure, to replace this. I mean, to think if these animals are needed, or you can an alternative to arrive to the same results or the same conclusions. I think this is also important, because if you do this exercise before starting the experiment, you will realize, I mean, that what you are doing is with animals is the only way to do with the animals. And you have also, if you have a good protocol that establishes the endpoint, I mean, you assess, you have good indicators to know exactly when the animal are suffering, are feeling pain, and what to do. I think this also increased the confidence and the satisfaction of the research. I think it's important to have this. If you see that you are using less animals and you are trying not to avoid any necessary suffering and pain from these animals. This also improves your satisfaction and your welfare, also as researcher.
And in terms of one welfare, does it also take into account, for example, the whole life quality of the animal and the training of the handlers? And can you just continue elaborate a little bit for us on this? I find it fascinating as a concept.
Do you mean the whole life from birth to death? Oh?
Yeah, and how like I think you touched on the idea that once you're improving the life of the animal and also the quality when you deal with the slaughterhouse, you also will directly affect the life quality of those working on this area. So could you just elaborate a little bit more on this for us?
Yes, I mean, but it's like this. I mean, there is not only the example of the slaughterhouse. I mean, but you can translate this in different aspects of the life. I mean, the people who has a pet, it's important. I mean, and now that our society sometimes is more alone, and there's a lot of people who live alone. Also, to have this relationship is an important pillar of the life. I mean, we have also now people who has been in prison or some people with some disease. I mean, autism or this. I mean, the way to contact with the society is through animals. The contact with the animals. People who has animals as the way to work. I mean, the working animals like horses in some countries. The welfare of these animals and their health will depend their own incomes, also, and the welfare of this. I mean, the relationship between human and animal, about the welfare of human and animal, is not only restricted to specific. I think you can find case studies in anywhere. And if you think this relationship and try to analyze them, you will see that there is always a win-to-win strategy in the case of welfare.
It's time for our famous three.
Looking to boost the productivity and health of your swine herd? Hy-D is the original pure source of 25-hydroxy-D3, proven in over 100 research trials and fed to millions of pigs each year in North America. Hy-D improves bone strength, immune health, and enhances overall performance. Whether you want to improve sow longevity, get heavier nursery pigs, or help your grow-finished pigs thrive, trust the original, pure, proven 25-hydroxy-D3 Hy-D. Learn more at hy-d.info.
So we are moving on to the end of our podcast, and we will ask you our famous three questions. So the first one is, what is your favorite resource in terms of welfare? Can it be a book or any other resource that is your go-to, you recommend to people?
Related to this topic about the welfare of slaughter, I think there is a book that is Welfare Slaughter. That is a book that we wrote some time ago, but I mean, it's just a revision of the main standings and killing system, and also the welfare. I mean, it covers all the phases of the welfare slaughter. Another resource that I use is also the EFSA opinions. I mean, the EFSA is the European Food Safety Opinions. I mean, that these opinions, they are public. I mean, is in the website, and everybody is free of access. Is the scientific base for the future legislation in the European Union. So there is opinions about the welfare and slaughter of pigs, but also of the other animals. And these are the main source of information that I used in relation to this topic.
And what is outside academia book or movie that you enjoy?
A book that I enjoyed is a book that is called Thinking Fast and Slow. It's a book, it's from 2011, and it's a book from a psychologist that is called Daniel Kahneman. And they show how the brain, these two methodologies, this way to think, the fast thinking, that is just what you think at the beginning instantaneously, that's sometimes is, this is the good feeling sometimes, and the slow process, that is more analytical thinking, assessing all the advantage, disadvantage. And it's very interesting because sometimes you trust you have good feeling, but sometimes it's not true what they think. Also, I would recommend this. The book is Thinking Fast and Slow.
Fantastic. I actually love this psychology book, so I'm probably going to be looking for this one.
Yes, and Daniel Kahneman was given the Nobel Prize.
An extra reason to read the book. And Dr. Villard, what is, in your opinion, the characteristics that set a successful professional apart of those that are not?
I think passion, be passionate in what you are doing. I think this is crucial. To wake up every day and think what you have to do and to go and thinking to go to work like a prize, not like an obligation. I think this is very important. And also for the people who are working in research, I think curiosity is also crucial. Also to make questions about what you are learning or the results, not to think that everything is like this, but also to think. Why? I think this is also a very, very important attribute.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was really a pleasure to share this time with you.
Yes, it has been a pleasure also to discuss with you and to chat with you in this important topic about welfare slaughter. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you for being here with us. And that concludes another episode of Swinet Canada presented by Wise Analytics. Thank you for joining us today. And do not forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is very important to us. Until next time, this is Aline Ramos, your host on Swinet Canada, signing off.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.